Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Why don't you give your hands together for Jesus? Give a shout for Jesus. Come on, he's the best. Woo! Come on, we love praising Jesus. This is a bit exciting, isn't it? I'm excited today to preach the word. I love what Pastor Alex was saying. This is all about having fun, being in community. And if you're not having fun, stop it, okay? Just tell the person next to you, just say, stop it, stop it. If you're not having fun, stop it. We're all about the fun. We love it here. And yes, my name's Jesse, and I had the privilege to lead all of our youth. Shout out the teenagers. Come on, the crew. We love it. And that's right, all of our youth overseas are preaching at all our locations. And my wife, Eloise, she's not here, but preaching at our Avalon location today. So she's the better half. So you're stuck with me today here. So you're going to be great. I'm hoping I'll be pretty good for you. So it will be. Why don't you lift your hands to God as we just pray and start the service, start this message. The Lord is going to speak to you today in Jesus' name. No matter how you walked in, you're going to walk out changed. And I believe that with all of my heart. So Lord, I pray you just come upon every person here today, any guests in the room for the first time, that you would experience the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We just fix our eyes afresh on you, Jesus. When you put God first, everything else falls into place. He is in all things. He is through all things. He created all things. He is the King of kings. So God, we put you in your rightful place as Lord of our life, as King of the world. And two, if you feel like you've been numb or you've been weary in your faith or in your prayer life, today we're talking about praying for others. I pray God just revives your heart today, that your heart is revived in fresh love for Jesus Christ, that you wouldn't walk out just going through the same old motions, but you would walk out on fire for Jesus Christ. So the Lord will speak to you today. He'll be with you today. In Jesus' name. Come on, he gets all glory, all the praise. Come on, he's full of authority. Come on, amen. Give it up for Jesus. Come on, let's really give it up for God. Let's praise Jesus, amen. Come on, woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we do this one in youth all the time, so why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Glad I'm sitting next to you. You can grab your seats. And thank you, worship team. That was amazing. Good. All right. Here we go, everyone. Have you been enjoying this campaign all about prayer? Yeah, you've been enjoying it? This isn't just, you know, a preaching series for 4 weeks about prayer. This is the spirit of prayer. We believe prayer is to be throughout every part of our walk with God. And prayer isn't just something we're starting afresh today, you know. Prayer has been happening for 40 years in this church. For all eternity and all before when Jesus was on the earth, like prayer was in the fabric of life and in everything. And so we're just focusing on that today, that fabric of prayer, praying for others. We've talked about praising in our prayer. We've talked about standing in our prayer. But today we're purely talking about praying for others. So now, totally, 100%, we're like called to pray for ourselves all the time. I pray for myself, love it, and it's the best thing. However, today we are focusing on others. Because if you just pray for yourself only and no one else, if everyone just prayed for themselves, there's only one person praying for you, yourself. But when we're all praying for each other, you are actually receiving, there are multiple people all praying for each other, all intertwined, all in each other. You get, what great more benefit is that to actually have so many more people praying in unison with each other? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, praying for others. Say others. Others. So good. And I've shared this one with the youth before, but have you heard of a thing called small talk? Small talk. Oh, small talk. I actually Googled it this week, just to remind myself, what is small talk? Small talk is meaningless conversation about unimportant, nothing things. Right? Who actually likes small talk? Yeah, or Jeff Cooper, amazing. If anyone, you want to just chat some small talk, Jeff is right here for you. He'll be lining up for everyone down the front, all right? He'll be here for you. And look, small talk's got a place, it's got a time, but really, have you heard of a D&M? D&M, we love D&Ms. Deep and meaningful, if you don't know. And really, in our Aussie culture, our Aussie language, it's a bit of a, you know, smart language is a bit of, and there's this comedian that says this joke that's like, when you ask someone how they are, you know, they don't tell you how they are. They tell you what they're not, right? So you ask someone, how are you? Not bad. Not bad. You know, I'm not good, but I'm not bad, right? So what you been up to? Nothing much. Nothing much. So where are we going? Oh, I don't know. Where is this place? It's not far. It's not far. Don't worry. It's not far. When are we leaving? Oh, not long now. Not long now. Don't worry. How much did that cost? It wasn't cheap. Let me tell you, it wasn't cheap, right? There's all this small talk. And then like you're in the coffee line, right? Or someone at work, you're with someone and they're like, you're talking with them and it's small talk's prowling. Small talk's ready. It's about to pounce on your conversation and you get talking and you're like, how are you? Good, good. Good, oh, that's good. You been busy? Yeah, busy. Been so busy. Busy. Oh, yeah. Work's busy. I'm slammed. Just busy. Busy's good, though. Yeah, good. Yeah, busy's really good. I like busy. Busy's good to say busy, you know. Yeah. This is a nice place, yeah. The carpet, it's really nice, you know. Like, it's really, the pattern is just so lovely, yeah. So they decorated it. It's just, did you hit the traffic today? Oh, the traffic. Let me tell you about the traffic. Well, I actually missed the traffic. I went down Pittwater Road, the parkway. It was closed, but I took the fast way. You need to go that way next time. I'll try it next time. Definitely the park, Pittwater Road. I got it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. So you've been busy at work, right? Yeah, busy. Yeah, right. It's hot today, isn't it? Oh, it's hot. It's winter, I know. It's like hot everywhere. In here and out there, it's just hot everywhere, you know? It's hot and yeah, so small talk is really like this. But then the opposite is, there's people that don't stop talking. You know those people? And they just keep talking and talking and talking and talking, talking. And you're talking with them and it's like, man, this person's barely breathing. Like, where is this going? Like, I can't even get a word. You're trying to find the gap, like, and there's no gap, like, just, but there's a magic word, all right? Everyone, this is the magic word, anyway. So whenever you're caught, just use this word. It's magic, honestly, anyway. You're talking with someone, you're finding the gap, you're waiting for it, you're waiting for it. Anyway, better get going. See you later, you know? Anyway, use it whenever. But with Jesus, we don't want small talk with Jesus. When we pray to God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of the universe, I don't want to talk about the small, meaningless, unimportant things. I want to talk about the real stuff, the deep stuff, my deepest fears, my deepest sorrows, the things that I'm excited about, the things I'm going into. I want to be praying about the deep and meaningful, amen? Amen. And my point number one today is praying for the needs of others. Praying for the needs of others. And then Colossians 1 verse 9, Paul the Apostle writes this, And it's pretty incredible. He writes the letter of the Ephesians, the Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians from a prison cell in the middle of prison. And so if anyone has the right to pray for themselves, it's Paul at this time. He's got all the right to pray for himself. But look what he prays for and who he prays for. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, get this, oh man, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Like he's in the middle of prison. He should be praying, Lord, help me. Get me out of this place. Have mercy on me. Come on, God, why am I in prison? I want to go out and do this. And he should be praying that, but he's praying for others. And that's today's message about praying for others. And when your life is about yourself and only you, it is very small. It is very small. But I believe we are a church that are big spirited, big people, big generous people who think beyond ourselves and others. And your life grows larger and larger when you're all about others. And maybe I want to ask you, have you maybe stopped praying once? Or maybe you're there right now and you maybe aren't praying. You're in a bit of small talk. And I want to encourage you today, you can get back focusing on others. Because those who refresh others will be refreshed. That is a promise. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There are all Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. It's all about others, all about others. And Jesus gives his own example on the cross. Once again, Jesus is dying. He's about to die and he's praying for others. And he says this in Luke chapter 22. He says to his disciples, to Simon, he's like, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. What a scripture that is. At the cross, Jesus is praying for others. And he says, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And when we pray for others, praying for people's jobs, praying for people's health, praying for people's kids, for their marriages is really good. Like all this stuff's really, the Bible teaches us to pray for needs, pray for situations, pray for breakthroughs, all of this. But I notice in the Bible, the prayers that Jesus prays the most and what Paul encourages us to pray is pray for their faith, pray for their salvation, pray for wisdom, pray for hope, pray for the joy of the Lord, pray for these spiritual things, pray for eternal things. This life is but a flash compared to eternity with Jesus. And so these things are far more there, far more important. So number one, praying for the needs of others, praying for their needs, but praying for their faith as well. You know, Simon, I have prayed for you. You know, everyone in this room, I have prayed for you in Jesus' name. So number two, I want to talk about praying for your enemies. Now, this is a big point. Shucks, when this was on the brief, I was like, dear, this is a tough one, you know, like praying for your enemies, okay? And I want to say this too, something that's impossible is if you watched the footy last night, the Wallabies, it is impossible for them to beat the All Blacks, honestly. If you watch it and you saw it, the Wallabies lost miserably. They haven't beat the All Blacks in 21 years in the Bledisloe Cup. That was 2001. I was 3 years old. I think some of our youth weren't even born. So we'd never seen the Wallabies beat anyone, you know, so in this, but it is impossible. And praying for your enemies, can I just say, is impossible. But with Jesus, it is possible. It is actually like when someone does wrong by you, when someone mistreats you, when someone gets stuck in and like just really hurts you. Like, have you been there? Have you had people do that? It is like the most hurtful thing. And God doesn't just say, bear with it. Come on, hang in there. Don't worry. He doesn't just say, cope with it. Come on. Or he doesn't say, just ignore it. He doesn't even just say, forgive them. He says, pray for them. Like, it's another level. Like, oh my gosh. And in Matthew 5, it says this. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And this is really cool because Jesus here, there is a pattern. In the book of Matthew, there is a pattern where Jesus says this phrase a lot. You have heard, but now I tell you. And Jesus was actually the gate of the new covenant into the New Testament, into the now day, the age of the Holy Spirit. So he was a gate. He actually formed a new covenant into what we're living now. And there were all these things you have heard, but I tell you, in the Old Testament, it was always about do not murder. Don't kill each other. You know, do not steal. Don't break your oath. Like, don't do this stuff. It was like almost the bare minimum. It was like the lowest. It was like, just don't kill each other. It didn't say don't love each other. Just don't hurt each other. Don't steal. Just don't do that. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, no. Don't just love your neighbor, love your enemy. And then it goes on here. It's crazy. It says beyond in the verse in 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, you're only your friends, you come to church and just sit with your people, don't talk to anyone else and just rush on out and don't actually give in to others or think about others, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that, it says. And this is something I want to say. Praying for your enemies is countercultural. Being a Christian is countercultural. It is the opposite. I walk onto the building site. I work in construction. Work into the building site, and there's all these amazing, they're great people, salt of the earth people, you know, the raw rustic guys on the sites working hard. And they're amazing people, but it is like, it is unheard of. If someone did wrong by them, what would they say? Like, stuff you back, you know, like screw you. Like someone messed you up, you say, oh, I'll do it back to you, you know. That's what the world would say. But being a Christian, it's not just a subculture, it's a counterculture. It's like the complete opposite of what the world does. The world does one thing this way, but we're called to do things a complete another way. You know, Jesus came to bring life. He was the way, the truth, the life. And it's like this powerful thing here. Jesus doesn't just invite us to pray when you're in the mood for it. It's a commandment. It's like, dear me, how do I do this? Love one another in the Bible is like, when Jesus says that, it's in the context of the Jews and the Romans. So he's basically saying, love the Romans, Jews, even when they kill your grandparents. Even when they change everything you do. It's not just like a little fight with your brother, you know, or your sister, or, you know, you have a bit of a hiss with your in your marriage, or you have a little bit of a biff. Like, it's when people are killing your family. That's the context of love one another, the power in that. And Jesus gives, I almost think, an even greater example on the cross. And it says in Luke 23, verse 34, this just blows my mind knowing this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by making bets, casting lots. Like, they're killing Jesus and he's still praying for them. Like, he's still up there praying for others, praying for his enemies. It's another level. And I actually have to say, like, I don't know if I can sometimes do that. Like, the human flesh gets angry. If you've never gotten angry before, you're not human, right? Like, you get fueled with it. But it is impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's count yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ. It's you put off the old man, you put the new man on, and you can love your enemies through God's power. And today, we're going to, at the end of the service, we're going to pray. I'm going to invite people, if you want to come down the front, pray for others, because you can stand in that power and pray for others in Jesus' name. We cannot harbor hatred for each other, but love God. The two don't go together. And this amazing, this pastor in America says these great few quotes, and I just want to read them out to you. And he says, the priests shook their head at Jesus on the cross, thinking they were looking at an instrument of a shameful death. But they did not know that they were viewing the altar of a perfect sacrifice. The Romans thought they were eliminating a troublemaker, but they didn't understand that they were lifting up a savior. The crowd of scorners thought they were watching a guilty man receive his deserved punishment. He deserved all that. But really, they could not see the guilt flowing from his wounds was their very own and was our own. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could pray for others. if Jesus prayed for us, I want to be a prayer for others. I want to do that. And praying for enemies, right, and praying for others, it doesn't condone the sin that they've done. When you forgive someone, it doesn't say, oh, that's okay, you know, you get away with it, that's all right. It doesn't condone it, nor does it cheapen the pain that you may have felt by enemies. It actually doesn't cheapen it. It actually does something remarkably powerful in your own spirit so that you don't grow into a bitter, angry, stuffy person who just is torn up in life. But you can actually be the big person, be big spirited and get above that stuff as well. And true too, it blesses them as well. It is a kingdom way. And in a moment, we're going to pray all together. And the band can join me actually. They can jump on up. And this final point I want to share is number one, pray for the needs of others. Number two, praying for our enemies. Not in small talk, in deep and meaningfuls. And number three, I just want to share the heart of Christ for others. And I want to read this scripture to you, Matthew 9, verse 36 to 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. If you think God's not compassionate about you, he is. He's not far off, distant, angry. And you know, I used to always pray and feel so guilty. Like I used to, oh, I haven't prayed, like, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. No, no. He had compassion on everyone because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. At any given moment, right now in the whole city of Sydney, people are ready to receive Jesus right now. That's what it means when the harvest is ready. There are people ready to say yes, but the workers are few. So God's asking us, will you co-labor with him? Will you partner with Jesus Christ and pray for others? Would you join in and be part of that harvest field, seeing people know Jesus, seeing people find community, just like Kirsty doing a connect group, you know, just like finding purpose. I feel so called to be with these teenagers. It is such a privilege, not just to lead the teenagers, you know, Eloise and I, but a privilege to pray for you guys, you know? Like, it's just this, even when Pastor Al asked Elle and I to be the youth pastor, we kind of said no in the beginning, right? We were kind of like, oh, don't think so, we're ready for this. But it was just this, like, this journey that we went on that was this amazing, it's just sacrifice and laying down your life. And really, like, you know, we're fine, we're doing good, we're doing this, but it is a privilege to pray. It is such a privilege to pray. And I believe as well, even for all the parents in the room today too, like your children, even they may not be in the house of God, they are prodigal sons that will come back to this house. And Jesus says here, I have compassion, I'm here for you. Even like I think as well, for people even living in Sydney, like those to buy a home and you know, those to, you know, I pray like everyone can meet a partner and get married in church and people can buy a house in Sydney and not be living paycheck to paycheck and people would have stable jobs and people would be looked after. And we can be part of that, to look after others, not just ourselves, but everyone else in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray in a minute. And then we're going to stand, we're going to really turn this place into like a prayer meeting and we're going to come down the front. If you're comfortable to pray for others, have them on your mind. But I want to ask you if you want to receive Jesus. So with all eyes closed and heads bow here today, if you want to receive Jesus, this is for you. This is for you. There's a harvest in this room today. There are people ready to receive Christ. And I want to invite you, you are amongst family today. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you're coming back to church or back to God, this is for you, right here, right now. The most important decision that you will actually ever make in your entire life is this very moment. So on the count of three, I'm just going to count to three. You can give me a wave, say yes to God, and say yes to Jesus, receive salvation. We're gonna pray a prayer. We're not gonna get you down the front, but it's just gonna be you and God. So if that's you on the count of three, you wanna say yes to Jesus right now. One, two, three. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen, I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you in this place, just raise your hand boldly this morning. No one's looking around. Amen. I see this hand. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else, if you want to say yes to God now, this is the Holy Spirit at work in you in Jesus' name. Come on, two amazing people have said yes to Christ. Is there anyone else to say yes to God today? If that's you here, we've been praying for you. We've been praying for you. If that's you, you just want to say yes to God, just give us a little wave and you can put it down. Amen. Okay, come on. We're all going to say this prayer together. And this is the salvation prayer to say yes to Jesus. So why don't you say this and repeat it after me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Today, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. I'm sorry for all my sins. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for those people receiving Jesus. Woo! Come on. There is praise, there is glory today. So why don't you stand to your feet, hey? We've been talking all about prayer, but I think it's time we do some praying. So I want to ask you, think of someone on your mind right now. Just think of someone that you're praying for. Maybe it's your son, your daughter. Maybe it's your family member. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's one of your enemies that maybe didn't apologize for you or whatever. I'd ask you, if you'd be really bold, if you're comfortable, I'd like to ask you to come down the front, or the youth, everyone else, just to come down, fill this altar, and just be praying for the person you're believing for, the person you're with. So right now, just come down the front and we're gonna pray. You can step out, you can stay in your seat, but let's go to warfare for our friends, our family, for others today in Jesus' name. And let's start to lift our voice in prayer. Let's start to say, thank you, Jesus. Let's start to say, praise you, Lord. God, work your miracle, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.